Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where we always make sure we get our triple-doubles before the game is over. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I am joined by Jim Ozarski and Lori Nickel, Bucks reporters for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We have a few things to discuss this week. The streak is over. Sad. The Milwaukee Bucks had to settle for just a 16-game winning streak after the Philadelphia 76ers came into Milwaukee Saturday night and hung an L on the Bucks. The Bucks then followed that up with a win in Washington, and so now all is right in the world, except for the triple-double that Giannis had. It has been taken from him, which we're going to discuss. You know what? Let's start that. Let's have some fun. We got to talk about Goran Dragic. I want to talk about Giannis in the public eye a little bit, and in light of his appearance with Hasan Minhaj, which got twisted and contorted, and we'll talk about that too. But let's start with what happened in Washington. Giannis must have known his rebound count, had 9 rebounds, had double-digit assists, double-digit points, and in the last 4 seconds, casually threw the ball off the rim and got that triple-double. The league, as of Monday, though, they're taking it away. Apparently, you have to, like, earnestly try to make a shot or something if you're going to get a rebound. Whatever. Jim, I'm heartbroken by this. I greatly enjoyed the Giannis fake triple-double and the sort of mini outrage that ensued. It has been undercut. I don't know. Are you mourning this like I am?
No, because I'll be honest, I didn't even know that. Like, I saw him do it live in the arena. Like, that was the basket I was sitting closest to. But it didn't look like a shot to me. So I initially didn't even, like, think about it. And then all of a sudden it sort of popped up on the box score. And you actually messaged me. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, buddy.
And then, I mean, everything he does has historical context now. So in one hand, I can understand the NBA, trying to pay attention, I guess. But yeah, that was what a weird. He did think he got away with one. I mean, he said last night, he's like, oh, I think I stole one. And then he winked at me, on his way out. So I don't think he's going to be too upset once he finds out.
I love him so much. He is far and away the franchise leader in triple doubles. Part of that, though, must be noted that not every stat was counted when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was here in Milwaukee. I don't believe assists were accounted for a few years there. So we don't actually know blocks. I'm not even sure. Some blocks were counted. So I don't remember which stats were which, but Kareem would have had a case, but Giannis with 33 triple doubles to his name, Kareem with 8. So doesn't really need another one. But I was going to ask, and Lori, I know that you are someone who loves to talk about stat padding. I was going to ask when it's okay to stat pad and when it's not. My rubric is always when it's awesome, it's okay. And since Giannis is awesome and endearing, we will allow it. That is a completely unbiased perception on my point of view. But what did you think about that? Are you in mourning that they've taken it away?
Not at all. And I thought he didn't care about that kind of stuff. Like, I thought he didn't even know, where he was or where he was ranking and scoring and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Some of my favorite quotes of all time come from Giannis the philosopher about, no, I care about making my teammates better and making myself better without being selfish and all this stuff. So where'd this come from? How did he even know where he was? So no, I'd rather keep the stats honest. I like the rules to be fair. That's what I love about sports and all that. So no, it's fine. Everything's fine.
I don't know how Washington's scoreboard is set up, but do they keep track of rebounds in real time? Isn't it just like points and fouls? Somehow that man knew he had 9 rebounds.
No, it's, I mean, every stat is everywhere.
All right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Everybody knows, every player knows where they're at, put it that way. Now see, I'll disagree with Lori. I enjoy stat padding. I think, other than high school, cause I think that's different, but if it score all the points all the time, do all the things that you can do. And if the other team has a problem with it, then they can take measures to rectify that. So if Giannis wanted it, he should have just like made a really effort, like miss a dunk spectacularly and go get it, or just like do a layup off the side and get it. But he tried to, I don't think he really wanted to, which is why it was just that little doink off the bottom of the backboard. you know? So I think
made it awesome. The awkwardness made it right. Cool.
I think he thought about it. And then when he was going up was like, oh, maybe not. And then, so it probably is perfect Giannis in that way.
I would say just pull up from 15 feet at the free throw line. That's normally an issue for him, but not lately. He was really good against Philadelphia. 16 of 18 from the line, 11 of 15 against Washington. Looking a lot more comfortable. He was 8 of 10 against Orlando before that, so a good stretch for him. I'm going to come back to Giannis. I have more to ask, but in earnest, I'll start talking about the newest member of the Milwaukee Bucks, and that is Goran Dragic, who was added to the rosters. They went out and they've added some pieces, you know, and names that people have heard of. This is kind of a dream scenario, I think, for Bucks fans, because for a while it seemed like the guys everybody wanted just didn't show up here. And now DeMarcus Cousins was an example of that last year. They've traded for Jay Crowder, of course, and they've added Goran Dragic. He did not play against Washington. He'll figure into the rotation probably going forward. And you've seen some comparisons with Javon Carter, Jim. I'm not sure. Yeah, Javon Carter had a very good game against Washington. We've seen some really impressive flashes from him. You've also talked about how just based on his size, he's going to be a bad defensive matchup in some cases. I don't know if these two guys are kind of competing for the same minutes exactly, but it seems pretty close to that. And I wonder, I know there are some people out there who are like, don't take minutes away from Javon Carter. Like, he's giving you what you want as a depth piece, as a guy who can start occasionally. And Goran Dragic is—he was an All-Star in 2018, but probably his best games are behind him. And it seems like they might be replacing somebody that they already have, essentially. How do you look at what the Bucks expect out of Goran Dragic? Where do you expect this team to use him?
It's interesting. So all Mike Budenholzer would say when he was kind of pressed about that was that they just wanted a third point guard. They'd been talking about it, obviously. Trading George Hill in the Crowder deal, just left Jrue Holiday and Javon Carter as that, right? So I'm curious to see. I mean, Dragic is a bigger guard. You know, again, he's 6'3". George Hill, I believe, 6'3", 6'4", but not nearly the defender. His forte, at least in the past, and Bucks fans well know, you know, mid-range, you know, making plays in the paint, you know, facilitating, more of an offensive player, not even your sort of three-point shooter, which or at least to the degree that you'd associate with, you know, a pickup at this point. So I'm curious to see what it is. I mean, maybe, you know, he'll play some minutes here down the stretch, and then if they get a certain matchup in the playoffs, you see Goran Dragic for a while. And if not, maybe we don't. I don't know. Jeff Teague, you know, game six in Atlanta, you know, got an A on the group project. it's hard to, right? That was the one time, right? And obviously, you know, Giannis was hurt, so they kind of needed some of that. And you know, Jeff Teague was a guy who, you know, played, I think he picked up 94 feet against those Hawks guards. So, we'll see. I don't know, but I the Javon Carter thing, he's not a great matchup against the Celtics, so you know, maybe Dragic is the guy for that. We'll see, but you're right though, the big names are, you know, fans like that stuff, but again, I don't know how much we'll see of Dragic, going forward.
Yeah, certainly the MO has been, you bring these guys in, does not mean you're going to play them. Pau Gasol comes to mind. Granted, he got hurt, so that's a bad example, but these guys are not meant to be top of the line rotation guys. They have those guys already. Lori, what do you think about Dragic? What do you think about, and maybe just by extension, Javon Carter as a whole this season? I mean, on one hand, he's a great find. You know, they basically, the irony here is that the Nets signed Goran Dragic and let Javon Carter walk, and the Bucks picked him up off of, you know, basically off the street, and he came in and he's been a more effective player than Dragic probably would have been in that same role. So it's kind of funny to have this thing sort of come full circle. But Carter has, I think, gotten better this year. He is, like Jim said, I mean, defense is his calling card. Even if he isn't going to be able to match up against, you know, bigger guards, he's still tough as nails. Makes a lot of shots, pretty fearless. What do you think of his game so far this year?
I think I favor him, to be honest, if you're just looking at a that standpoint and the points that both of you guys made. And I love his attitude. He's got a toughness to him, kind of a quiet confidence to him that doesn't come through a lot. He's not at the press conferences a lot, so you really got to talk to him and get to know him a
little
bit.
He is not a talkative man.
No, well, but you know what? I was surprised, though. He is away from all the cameras and stuff and away, you know, from the standard. He's got to give his press conference stuff and say, like, away from all that, he will talk. And I like, you know, kind of the moxie that he brings to this team. And I like the chemistry part of it, especially because we're getting to the point now with this team where people have to accept their roles. And the chemistry that's been built up and has been augmented in the last couple of weeks, now it's very much a role playing thing. And he's very good with what he does in his role. And I think that's really beneficial, you know. And one of the things, too, that we have to remember, though, I think with GM John Horst, is that despite the fact that a lot of the guys on this team have won a championship, there are some guys who can still use that locker room leader. And I wonder, Jim, if maybe you knew much about him, maybe this is one of those pickups, too, where just having a good locker room guy, a good practice court person, a good focus person, especially with all these back-to-backs coming up in the tough part of the schedule, that might be a little bit of a benefit as well. Because when guys are getting tired and you've got, you know, one of the top seeds locked up, staying focused and driven through these next couple of weeks can also be of value with some of the leadership of this team.
Yeah, I mean, Dragic, I got a chance to talk to him in the locker room, and he, in that way, is I guess ring hunting. I mean, he's like, look, I've been doing this for 15 years. I want to win. Want to win a championship. This team is you know, capable of doing that. And but again, he was an All NBA guy. He's made an All Star team. Key member of that Heat team that went to the finals in the bubble. I think the Bulls signed him this year to be that sort of presence, Lori, because I don't think, and he had said some things like in Chicago when things weren't going right with right. that team, he just physically isn't that player anymore. Right. So that's why I don't think it worked, quote unquote, worked in Chicago. You know, with Lonzo Ball went out and all that stuff. Whereas Milwaukee, he, another veteran, knows what to do, knows how to win, you know, knows how to practice, like all those things. And actually we're going to have a story on this up at jsonline.com here, be it today with this podcast or maybe tomorrow, just with Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, Grayson Allen, talking about that concept, Lori, of like these veterans coming in, fitting in, but also the sacrifices current players are going to have to make in terms of minutes or, you know, the changes in their roles to a degree. And I think Dragic is going to fit in really well in that way. He said, he's like, look, nobody needed to tell me my role. He's like, those guys, and I think he means the stars of the team and even Javon and Jrue Holiday, his position, are sort of the guys. He's just going to do what he can. Quick note, though, you mentioned the schedule. So we may not see him for a little bit. So he missed his last four games before the trade or before he was waived with left knee soreness. And maybe we should have like a ding for every time a Bucks player has knee soreness. He told me that he's not really going to be ready to go. He didn't want to put a date on it. He said they have one in mind. The Herd are down here in Orlando. I don't know if Dragic is getting some work in with them or not. Maybe not officially. But anyway, they're still working on that a little bit. He says he wishes he could be like really good right now, but obviously the goal for him is potential playoff minutes.
Sure. Let's go to the 76ers game, because this was kind of a high energy moment. It had been again earlier in the day, Marquette had played and that sold out Pfizer Forum. Then the Bucks played in the evening against the Sixers, sold out Pfizer Forum. The Bucks, came in with a 16 game winning streak against a couple of high profile players and Joel Embiid and James Harden. They had a 14 point lead going into the fourth quarter, and they lost it very quickly. Sixers came back to win that game by 3 points. Disappointing end to the streak for sure. Obviously it was going to end at some point. But that's a 76ers team that could at least pose some problems in the postseason. One thing you saw a lot of, speaking of new acquisitions, was not having Jay Crowder out there for crunch time, for that fourth quarter run that the Sixers went on, where James Harden, quite honestly, hit some incredible shots. And Embiid, too, hit some incredible shots. But they didn't deploy Jay Crowder in a spot where, you know, he's presumably here to be kind of that defensive presence to hold the lead against a good team, one would think. What did you guys make of that? Do you think that is indicative of what they might do in the future? Or is that purely, you know, it's too early to just use every toy you got for the specific reasons you're going to be using them in the playoffs?
Look, Jay Crowder's a bigger wing. And I know when we've spoken on this podcast, I have mentioned James Harden as a guy that he could defend. But I'll be honest, I mean, that was more on a theoretical basis. I think if you were to just say straight up game seven, I want Jrue Holiday on James Harden. So, Tobias Harris, those are the players that you might see a Jay Crowder on in terms of just lateral quickness and things of that nature. I do know Jay defended James at points in that game. But I think it could be a matchup thing. Could be Jay sort of hit the minutes. Could be just some experimentation on Mike Budenholzer's part to a degree. But I think, when you're talking about down the line games, win or go home scenarios, that's Jrue Holiday. And I imagine Jrue is going to be looking for that matchup. So even if Jay was on the court, I imagine Jrue would say, no, I think I'll take this guy and, we'll move other chess pieces around.
Sure. One guy who had a pretty quiet game against Philadelphia was Chris Middleton. He played 27 minutes in that game. That's the most we've seen of him. And again, he is upticking slowly but surely from that minutes limit of what seemed to be 15 minutes, pretty hard capped when he came back from injury on January 23rd. And now we're getting into the 20, 24, 25, 26 minutes a game. He did, however, not play in either game of the back-to-back this past week. He didn't play against Orlando, which, fine, whatever, Orlando was a comfortable win for Milwaukee, but then did not play again on Sunday in Washington. Laurie, I'm curious how – we talked about this last week, so this isn't a surprise that he didn't play in these back-to-backs. It isn't a surprise that they're nursing him along, but are you worried? You've seen him all year. Are you worried that they haven't gotten to a point where Chris Middleton is – full strength, is starting basketball games, is getting 30 minutes a game? Or does it concern you that it doesn't really seem like they're going to necessarily be in that place before the playoffs begin?
Right. I'm worried for him a little bit, just because as much of, he's one of the most experienced veterans and one of the oldest by age veterans on the Bucks team. And he's not getting a chance to really, sitting out a game here and there. I don't know how he's feeling with his rapport. And I'm really watching most of all his confidence, because I've been watching him since he was here in 2013, and this is an entirely new role for him. There was the one year that he was injured, and that was tough, but he was off the court for like 3/4 of the season. This is different, where you're trying to fight for minutes, and he's just the consummate pro, and I think Jim would agree with that. But the only thing I worry about is, making sure that he feels like he's still part of the team and still vital to the team, because if you're going to be expected to contribute, especially game winners and game stopping type defense, the stuff that he could do 3, 4, 5 years ago, you need to be in a rhythm to do that. I don't think you can always come off the bench as easily and do that. That's been new for him. It can happen, of course, but that's new. But I know Jim covered this too with a recent story.
Yeah. And Chris has been, I think, pretty honest with his physical status since he came back and then went out and came back. I mean, just in practice before this little mini road trip, or before the Philly game, he was asked straight up, like, how do you feel? Where are you at? And he's like, I got a long way to go physically. And noting he hadn't played 35 minutes. And he even said, look, in the playoffs, I'm around 40. That feels like miles away from 25. So I think he's looking for the positives in that. And one of them is that mindset that Laurie referenced of, okay, Chris Middleton comes off second unit. He's yes, he's facilitated. I mean, Lori wrote a great story last year on his passing over the years. He's still had some assists, but he's clearly looking for his shot, which is not a thing Chris Middleton usually does. And I think it's a big part of why this team's averaging 123 points a game since actually just before he came back, but even more so since, because Chris Middleton coming off the bench is a problem for other teams. I mean, he's better. He's an all-star. He's better than other teams' second units. And then I think for Mike Budenholzer, when he's asked about this, I think he's probably irritated about us asking about it. But for him, if Chris Middleton's available end of quarters, end of game, I don't know if Bud's in that certain total minutes. I think Chris would like to get to wherever he wants, to 40. But I think if push comes to sub, if you say, Chris, can you play the last 4 minutes of a game, last 4 minutes of overtime, win a game? I think you take that, right? If he has to stick around a certain level. But you're right, JR, they're kind of running out of runway here. And if he's not playing back to backs, he's going to miss another three games at least, because they've got three more as we record this. Mm-hmm. And there aren't that many games left.
All right, shifting gears over back to Giannis, who's by the way playing extremely well as he has all year. I feel like the MVP conversation has actually kind of died down overall. It's kind of just assumed that Nikola Jokic is going to get it, I think. And I don't know. It feels like Giannis should be getting some more consideration, but we'll discuss that another week. I actually wrote a little bit about this. He made a really interesting appearance when he was in Brooklyn and with the Bucks before they took on the Nets. On the Daily Show, guest hosted by Hasan Minhaj, is a comedian who has spoken very fondly of Giannis before, and it was a very endearing back and forth. Minhaj's goal, one of the comedy bits, was to have Giannis trash talk some of his foes like Jokic, like Kevin Durant, like LeBron James, and Giannis, being who he is, like played along and read some things off the teleprompter that were good spicy bits of trash talk, and then immediately was like breaking character and be like, no, I love you guys, you're great. It fit Giannis to a T. I thought it was actually very good comic timing and very funny, and I really really enjoyed it. The next day, Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp on Undisputed played only the clip of Giannis trash-talking Kevin Durant and then proceeded to have like an 11-minute segment on how Kevin Durant isn't going to like that, and how, it was a comment about him joining super teams and like, well, there's a really good reason why he joined Golden State. It was awful. It was absolute nonsense. Hasan Minhaj came back the next day and was highly defensive of Giannis and challenged Skip Bayless to donate money to the Charles Antetokounmpo Family Fund, which was what Giannis was promoting in the first place. It was kind of a back and forth to do. Giannis is kind of caught in the middle of this, and I'd be curious what you guys, from knowing him and talking to him, how you think he reacts to that. Because one thing Hasan Minhaj said that I thought was really interesting was, this is why athletes don't want to go on these talk shows. This is why they don't want to make public appearances, because their words get so obviously twisted out of context, which I feel is exactly what happened on Undisputed. And that's fine. That's a talking head show. Those guys do that stuff sometimes. They're kind of known for it. People know what they're getting into with those guys when they're talking about Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. But Giannis is a very genuine guy, and I could see this bothering him. Not necessarily like he'll know what's taken out of context. He knows Skip Bayless is who he is, but also, he doesn't want to go on more talk shows because something fun and lighthearted can be completely twisted around. So Lori, I'll start with you. How, when you saw this transpire, I don't know how closely you followed it. Do you feel like you could see why Giannis would be upset? Is he able to just kind of let that roll off his shoulder? Because he's such a genuine guy, and I'd be really, it would be a shame if he allowed that to dissuade him from making some of these public appearances and having some fun like he was, I thought, on The Daily Show.
It was such a nice little segment. Okay, everybody, class, listen up, okay? Giannis, somebody tell Giannis. Skip Bayless is a 71-year-old famous person with a resume to die for in journalism, okay? Before he got to TV, he worked at amazing places. But as soon as he got to TV and apparently lost all his print editors, he kind of became, like, to me, this TV troll. And I hate to say that, we don't like to rip other journalists or whatever, but this so-called beef that, between the show and Skip Bayless and all that stuff, to me, it just seems fake from beginning to end, and ratings for all sides involved. And it's all gross to me, and I can't relate to it, and I don't find it entertaining. I thought, just from the purity standpoint of, you got to see Giannis and promoting his thing and doing some fun stuff and getting away and not always talking about basketball or getting him out of his comfort zone was perfect, and just leave it at that. The reason that we keep talking about Skip Bayless is because of these kind of fake generated things that come up. And I never hear about the man from other players, from coaches, from anybody in my world in sports who's out there working and traveling to games and busting their butts and playing hard and trying to win. I never hear. Now, the TNT guys, yeah, they might care about what they have to say. But this, I just don't see the relevance anymore. And it kind of like degrades everything else that we do. So hopefully that's it. And I don't want to ever hear or talk about him again on this prestigious podcast.
Yeah, Jim. I mean, obviously, we know who he is. He's a rabble rouser, I guess, for to borrow a term. But does that impact Giannis in any way? Does it make him say, you know what? I don't need to deal with this. I don't need to go on shows and have Skip Bayless rip me apart over nothing. Maybe I just stay out of it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's long been coveted by late night shows, and he's always turned them down. I think, you know, Hassan is a guy he's developed a relationship with. I think it was personal before, then they collaborated on a commercial. So I probably has something to do with it. Obviously, a more formal introduction of his charity, which is what these guys do sometimes when they make their sort of rounds like this. But so I don't know. I don't know. Like, if Giannis never appears on another late night show, I don't think it has anything to do with this, right? But to your broader point of, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's one of the reasons why guys are a little more close to the vest or guarded. And I find it amusing because he couldn't actually finish the trash talk for like all the other players. So like the one time he got through like the four sentences that were written for him was what was pulled out. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, it was, you know, to Lori's point though, you're right. I don't ever really hear much of anybody. Maybe Aaron Rodgers. Maybe Rodgers talks about some of these guys. But other than that, I don't really hear,
well, again,
you know, athletes talk about these people.
Okay, but let me just say, what was the first thing that Giannis said when he was holding the championship trophy and the MVP trophy on July 20th, 2021 at midnight or whatever it was? One of the first things he says, you know, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And then he goes on to say, we did it the hard way. Mm-hmm. That's a source of pride for him. And as it should be. They didn't come here. I mean, they had great players, but he was here from the beginning, started with the 15-win season, stayed in Milwaukee, signed the Supermax. So he should be able to tweak other guys when he wants to, even if it's a little, you know, and this wasn't passive aggressive, but I think it was perfect. Like the whole little exchange was perfect and it was cute. And I saw the things Kevin Durant is like thin skinned or whatever. And he, whatever, like, come on, he has the right. He earned the right to have that little tweak without having this weird uproar over it. And he should go on all the talk shows that he wants to go on because he's the one that everybody wants to hear and not somebody in a studio with makeup and good lighting.
Yeah, I think that comment you're talking about, Lori, is ultimately where Skip or anyone else would get the, you know, sort of the germ of the idea that this is legitimately what he thinks, that that in the back of his mind, he doesn't believe in joining super teams and would not hold it against players who do, but, you know, that would be something he wouldn't forget. And so whatever, this is already pretty much blown over. I was just curious what you guys kind of trying to put yourself in Giannis's mindset, what he would think when he sees this sort of thing happen when it's really out of his control, of course, but just a little frustrating. Go ahead.
He's not thin-skinned. He doesn't. He's pretty good at handling some of this stuff, and it's come up very little, and very few instances. Some stuff with Joel Embiid a few years ago or whatever. He can handle this stuff pretty well. I would be shocked if he was like, even gave it two thoughts. I mean, he might have been like, "Oh, really?" and then laughed it off and gone and play with his kids. Yeah. I would be really surprised if he got upset about it.
All right, that'll cover pretty much everything we want to talk about with the Bucks. We're going to close this down in a very fun way, as we sometimes do. It's What's Making Jim Mad.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
I am very disappointed.
I'm upset.
Louder!
I'm upset.
Say it louder!
I'm upset.
That's my secret, Cat. I'm always angry.
What's Making Jim Mad?
Jim, you've been out on the road? Gathered up any rage? What's happening in gym land these days?
I think the thing that I have found is especially in coffee shops, are the concept of breakfast hours. And some people listening to this might be like, hey, they might immediately go to McDonald's, right? And like, when you couldn't, you know, you wake up at 10:30 and you can't get your sausage McMuffin. Right. But like I have in recent travels, I don't understand how coffee shops or fast food shops have breakfast hours. And then this has been sort of simmering with me. I'm like, I want a coffee. I want a muffin when I want it. You're a coffee shop. You should have it. Like, don't like that. That's like the whole point of your existence as a business. And then I'm going through. What airport was I just in? I don't know. Newark, New Jersey. 10:30 in the morning. I'm ready for like breakfast. And I'm told that the entire terminal switched to lunch.
Oh my God. At 10:30?
Where was the Jersey rage? Like, are like the East Coasters just up so early that's, look, I just got there. It's not 9:30 my time, I guess. Like, it was. So this had been like bothering me because I've seen it now as I've gone on the road on some of these places. And then the airport thing like just happened. And I'm like, I've got to walk like a mile and a half in this airport to find coffee, you know, something to have. So what, like if you own a coffee shop, congratulations. Awesome. There are many great ones in this city or wherever you're listening to this. Do breakfast or sandwich or whatever, you know. Keep it open. That's what you're supposed to do. Breakfast hours are so dumb. Like, everyone works different hours. Everyone, lots of people work from home still or whatever. Like, that should not be a thing anymore. Like, breakfast times and menu, I don't know, man. It's just gotten to me. Like, I've kind of rolled with a lot of changes in, like, service industry and food. Like, hey, I get it, right? The last few years. But that's just one thing I think that should have went away. Like, hours of stuff. No, that man, I was like stomping around in a rage on Newark Airport to start this road trip because the whole terminal turned to lunch at 10:30 in the morning. It was insane. So yeah, JR, that's thanks for making me relive that.
There it is. Yes. I love it. I love the passion. I love the fire. Lori, what's making you mad? Have you thought of anything?
I didn't know I was part of this.
Well, you're welcome. Man. You're welcome to chime in on the rage. No. Skip Bayless is making you mad. I know that much.
Well, no, it's not. And I'm not even trying to rip Skip Bayless. Like, go make your money. That's fine. But I'm just saying I've never heard a player go, oh, my God, can you believe he said that about me? I don't know. I feel so insecure. I'm not sure about myself. No, man, it's March. I hear robins. There's like it's March Madness coming. This is like that best time of year. Spring is in Wisconsin. My daffodils are coming up. Like, there's nothing to be mad about. Like, we should get off the phone right now and get to work. I'm so happy.
I am going to quit this podcast right now and make a trailer for What's Making Lori Happy. It's going to be very different than the one I have for Jim. And yes, it'll be a perfect balance in the force on the Point Forward podcast, I think. Any last thoughts from either one of you as we head off? Lori, anything?
No, I'm brain dead from five stories. Just thanks for reading. Thanks for listening. Send us some story ideas. Jim and I are like cranking out stuff, and we've got so many lists of things that we're getting ready to cover, and I can't wait. Like, I'm just so excited. I just need to get up earlier for breakfast hours to make sure I get my work in, to make sure I can handle it all. So check, it's all good.
Check out Lori's story on Brooke Lopez and Chloe Murata of the Marquette women's basketball team and kind of a couple ways that they're helping in their community. It's a really good story at jsonline.com. Jim has a story at JS Online about how veterans are sort of setting aside, you know, their egos a little bit with some of the new acquisitions, namely Jay Crowder and Goran Dragic, and you have Joe Ingles in the thumbnail. Joe Ingles has been amazing, so hopefully he's doing exactly what they brought him in to do. But Jim, any last thoughts before I let you go?
Yeah, just look, the Bucks are what, a game and a half ahead of Boston in the race for the one seed,
best record in the NBA.
I don't think there's a push for that, so to speak. I know by the time we do this again, they're going to play a whole bunch of games, another set of back to backs, but. Look, Bobby Portis remembered, hey, yeah, they had a chance to win game six against the Celtics at home. Didn't get it done. Had to go to Boston on the road. Like, the Bucks won more road games last year in the playoffs than at home. However, I think this is a team that maybe is rolling to a point, 8-1 in the second of these back-to-backs, where, yeah, guys might rest. Maybe at shorter minutes for other players, you know, where you know, they're not going to play 39, 38 to, you know, push the envelope. But, you know, maybe are they gunning for it? No, but yeah, maybe the top two seed is something that they're looking for. Jared, was the thing you always talked about last year and the year before about those bad losses, mm-hmm. December, January, February, that also count, not just game 82. So the Bucks are taking care of business. March, April, right? And February to maybe set themselves up a little better at the end of the year. I don't know. Something to watch going forward here with just how they're approaching some of these games and just kind of racking up some wins that might lead to a better seeding.
Winners of 17 out of 18 games, they are in Orlando on Tuesday night. They will be back home to face Brooklyn on Thursday. And then, hello, West Coast. They go to face Golden State on Saturday, the Sacramento Kings next Monday, the Suns on Tuesday. That'll be three really tough tests right in a row. Should be fun. Thanks for joining us, guys. Appreciate it. Lori Nickel and Jim Ozarski joining me. My name again, J.R. Radcliffe. You can find us all on Twitter. Just search our names. It's all right there. And we will join you again next week. Thanks for listening to the Point Forward podcast, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast. A Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.